The Ford Ranger, a vehicle for all terrains and every passion. It's a workmate, a playmate, and to its drivers, a soulmate. So how do you improve the Ford Ranger? You go all in. The all-new Ford Ranger, the UK's best-selling pickup. Now available with rear bumper steps, tailgate workbench, and enlarged load box that can fit a Euro pallet. Go break it in. Search all new Ford Ranger. Ford Pro. Driving productivity. According to SMMT data, features may be optional extras with additional cost.
For those who live life one quarter of a mile at a time, let's go Menage A. We saw the Fast and the Furious, so you know what that means. Going back to where it all started. Toretto, 2001, the country was in disarray, and this movie brought us all back. I bet that if you went up to anyone as they left the theater, they would be shocked if you said, in 2023. They'll still be making these movies. What is shocking about this movie? Well, a lot of things. They're not superheroes. Cars act like cars. The team is smaller, but yet still robust. We'll get into all the specifics of it, but surprise, surprise, Paul Walker is a cop who is embedded in the LA automotive scene to find out who is behind the hijacking of big rigs full of, you guessed it, DVD TV combo players. This operation is a joint FBI LAPD operation. Brian is going under with the best name of all time. I'll get it. I don't even want to touch on it, what his alias is in this movie. We'll get into all of it. And we will talk about where these characters started, and it will be maybe with you journey and figure out where they go. So without any further ado, please welcome to the stage my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? What's up, family? That's right, Largo, this is my family.
Welcome, Jason.
I wish I'd known I would have worn my shirt.
I pulled it out. I am in my Toretto
gear. I noticed you still
gear.
Got the sleeves on it.
Yeah. Well, we're going back to the original Fast and Furious, where sleeves were still around for the most part. When we get to Fast 10, sleeves have been eliminated.
It is. What a quaint time to spend with the Fast crew.
This really
was a,
is.
This was a delight.
It was like watching a one-act play.
Yeah. It was like watching a small indie movie.
And I gotta say, impressed with some of the acting. Here's the mistake that I made. I try to get ready for the show, and I type in, okay, I know we're doing the first one. Fast and Furious.
Nope.
Start watching it. Yeah.
Nope.
That's the fourth one. Yeah. Or that's What, or it's the one that came out in 2009. It's like, yeah. Dominican Republic? I don't think it starts there. And then I was like, fuck, they named a movie Fast and Furious, and then this movie is called The Fast and the Furious. Now it's just down to like Fast X. But I mean,
the thing that blew my mind, and you referenced it just a second ago, was in the opening heist, it isn't even just TV DVDs. It is VCRs.
I saw those VCRs.
There are VCRs in the truck.
I would argue that the VCRs get more highlighted than the DVD players. Oh. And part of me feels like the production couldn't afford to even get the proppage of the DVDs at that point.
Yeah, they didn't. Well, they had Panasonic. Panasonic dumped a lot of product. They were like, we're dumping these. You want to put them in your dumb movie?
Panasonic's like, oh, please show us it's something that thieves want. Here to break down the film in hairstyles and in so many ways that you would never even think to look at a film critically, my other co-host, please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
I gotta tell you, you look good. Goddamn!
Should we cut the sleeves off of it?
If we have a scissor, I'll cut the sleeves off. I'll cut the sleeves. I will say this much.
This is a style that I've never seen you in. And I don't mind it not one bit.
All right.
I want to
thank Pete the S-Man. Pete the S-Man made us these shirts. He's here. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
Great work,
Pete.
You know what? For the Fast 10 show, I will cut the sleeves off.
Okay.
Let's build.
Why do I feel like you're going to spend the next whatever month getting just jacked? It's going to be like, arms are going to be like twice. You're going to Kumail this.
Well, you know what? Maybe just for this audience, by May 26th, I'm just going to start doing roids. I'm going to get really.
Do it.
I already got the hair.
Holy shit. If we could produce a picture of you that looked as close to Vin Diesel as possible, that would be amazing.
I've been working on my follow-up to his short film, Multifacial, which is a short film that Vin Diesel made called Multifacial, which, again, probably as aptly titled as Race Wars, but maybe you should have ran that by somebody before calling your short film. But Multifacial is a film that he made to show that he could play anything. Native American, Latin, like that Italian. It, like, that's the whole thing.
Who is he, Steven Seagal?
But, you know, I mentioned this before. This is a big show for us because this is something that we have kind of imprinted in our show, and we wanted to make sure that we brought to you an expert, somebody who really knows Fast and Furious, loves Fast and Furious as much as we do. And I think we found a perfect person. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest, Seth Rogen.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah. Race Wars! Race Wars!
Race Wars!
Race Wars! Race Wars!
Race Wars!
Race Wars! No? No? Okay, I'm hearing that we shouldn't have done that. So, we're cutting it from the episode.
Here's the one thing that I will tell you.
Don't tell anybody we did that.
The one thing that I love. Somebody, I think we can keep it in because of this fact alone. A listener of the show wrote me a couple months ago and said, hey.
You're the people that said it.
A listener of the show wrote me a couple months ago and said, I was cleaning out an office and I found the original script of Fast and Furious. Can I send it to you? I want to get it out there. There's a lot of differences. It takes place in New York. There's a lot of things, but one of the big differences is in that script for The Fast and the Furious, it is called Street Wars. And okay. Someone went in to change, like, Race Wars. It was already fine. The fact that it was written as Street Wars and changed to Race Wars, and no one flagged it.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, at least one or multiple, right, of the later sequels also feature time at Race Wars?
Yes, they go back to Race Wars.
They go back to Race Wars.
Wow.
You can't escape Race Wars. Seth.
Seth's done.
That was it for me.
We were talking this week. You saw this in the theater.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 2001. I was 19 years old, yeah, something like that. I remember I was in Vancouver when I saw it. And actually, in Vancouver, where I'm from, like, street racing was a big thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was a really big thing. There was a huge amount of kids who were souping up their parents' fucking cars. And in fucking high school, a lot of my maniac friends started souping up their little fucking cars. And I remember, like, there was a point where I was like, if their fucking steering wheel matches the color of their fucking hubcaps, I'm not getting in the car with these motherfuckers. Like, they're fucking crazy. And literally, you'd be like at a party and someone'd be like, anyone want to go to the store with me? And you'd get in these little fucking cars and they'd be ripping through the fucking streets. And it was really stressful. And so, when this movie came out, I was like, oh, they made a movie about these motherfuckers. And then, but then I saw it and I loved it. I gotta be honest.
I wouldn't have expected that of Vancouver.
It's because it's a lot of the cars are Asian cars, and there was a huge amount of Asian kids who had moved. I mean, if you want to get into it,
it's Pacific. Yeah.
There's a lot of kids. The Hong Kong
Sounds
handover.
Like
Have
Wars.
You heard of the Hong Kong handover? There were race. Well, I also love how the movie, they are divided by race for the most part. Really,
it works on both levels.
It works on both levels,
of course, except for Vin, who is everything.
Whose side? I kept writing down. Whose side would he be on?
He's the Jesus Christ of the race wars. He's like, I've come to bring peace to all of you, family.
I really remember talking about this movie and justifying why I liked it in 2001, being like, if you like Point Break, it's just like Point Break. It's kind of like Point Break. And it really is
It's like Point Break with no crime.
Yes. Well, yeah. Like, yeah, the crime in Point Break happens a lot. Here, it's like alluded to.
Was I missing the crime?
The crime
was there one crime?
Yes.
In the beginning?
Yes, there was one.
Two.
Act one and act three have a single
crime.
Heist.
Yes, but the other crimes, $6 million worth of crimes have happened.
Correct. You're right.
That's not that much.
I know. I'm just thinking, why is DC involved?
They stole like $6 million worth of VCRs.
By the way, exactly. Do you know how the metric ton of VCRs you'd have to equal $6 million in 2001?
But by the way,
I guarantee you the Fed spent more money renting that mid-century modern house in the hills to have just so they could put up pictures.
Incredible house.
I was like, I want to live here.
I know.
A beautiful
house. They tore it down. I looked it up.
A beautiful house. And you know that this film has its finger on the pulse of youth when it's described as, you know, Eddie Fisher bought this house for Elizabeth Taylor. Like, you need to be like the lead singer of Korn fucked here once. Oh, yeah. Like who cares about...
But that's what I loved about this movie. First of all, I have never seen this movie before.
Whoa!
This is my first time. Yeah, I know. And so now I'm looking back at... I've watched this franchise so chaotically, so haphazardly, there hasn't been a path that's made sense.
To be fair, the franchise doesn't have a path that makes
sense. Okay, fine.
Would you be shocked to find out that in very few movies, Vin Diesel is not even in them anymore?
I'm shocked. Well,
and they're not even chronological. There's three movies that take place before this movie that come out, I think.
But there are certain details in this movie, like the cops being in that house, the decaf, the cigarettes, the stuff like that, where I was like, I love this movie. I love these scenes. I don't recognize this as any other Fast movie that I've ever seen in all my days.
It's fun. Vin Diesel smiles more in this movie than he has smiled since this movie in life.
I will say, but I also say, like, I watched this movie and I was like, I get it. Like, he's a star.
He's
like,
a star.
When he does that monologue, I'm like, this is very good.
I live life one quarter mile at a time. I was like,
Do yourself a favor, Paul, actually, if you don't mind. Live your life one quarter mile at a time, tattoo.
All right. Look it up. I gotta do it for the show.
I mean, this already, and it's nuts.
I mean, here,
everybody wants this as a tattoo.
Really?
Yes.
That's a tattoo?
Yeah, it's a huge tattoo. The script, I live my life one quarter mile at a time.
Was that a saying before this movie?
I can't imagine.
I mean, but it seems like he doesn't. It seems like there's a lot of planning going into these heists. It seems like he's planning a lot of stuff.
You're
like,
right.
They're not that complicated. And in the end, are thwarted by a man with a shotgun.
Yeah, that was it. That's when it's over.
Like, the big villain in the third act is like a scared man with a shotgun.
A non-verbal.
And they would all be dead if he could reload quicker.
Or if he had a buddy. A non-verbal, like, antagonist is the big bad. Like, that was crazy.
Well, can I just say, like, the thing that I love in this movie is the first heist starts with a grappling hook. And I feel like grappling hooks aren't used as much in life, but in movies, everyone's got a fucking grappling hook.
Oh, yeah. Hollywood's keeping big grapple in business.
Like, the way that they attack the truck is shooting a grappling hook through the passenger side window, but then that would break. So it's not like you could use that to, like, it's not like a side of a building.
The first one is to pull the window off.
Oh, okay.
The second one is so you can get across safely if you're Vin. No. Not Vin. It's Vince.
Vince.
I think what's hard, too, ultimately, is like these truck drivers, they're not doing anything wrong out there. No. They're simply...
Yeah, they're not criminals.
Villain in the third act is a scared guy trying to save his VCRs.
And even when the FBI is like, well, the truckers are going to arm themselves, going to be mayhem, I'm like, they should arm themselves.
Yeah, they should.
But by the way, I also like that the police have an in with the truckers. The truckers are like, hey, if this keeps on happening, I'm going to tell my guys, go fucking shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, and their cops are like, hey,
but
truckers, we got this. And the truckers are like, I'll give you 36 hours, and then my guys are going ham.
But those are the stakes of the movie.
Yeah.
Is that maybe the truckers will just have to do it themselves.
The movie.
Which when they do try to do it, he pretty much does.
They're pretty successful.
Guess who we don't see in the rest of the movie? The feds. Any of the bosses, they never arrive. They never, when we get to the end of that whole chase sequence, when Vince is almost maimed, he has to be airlifted out, there's still nobody there on the scene.
But I also don't understand, like, in the middle of the movie, there's like this moment where they're like, should we go bust that crew? And he goes, yeah. So they have a ton of DVD TV combos, cars that match the look, but they were all bought legally, and these guys just race.
And they bust Johnny Tran while he's drinking tea with his family. Yeah.
Okay, but again, what this movie gave us was that moment between Johnny Tran's dad and Johnny Tran.
Which is great.
I thought that was a beautiful moment, nonverbal, you know, beats in the background, but just a gorgeous
during
moment.
Our tea ceremony.
And I loved it too when it's like Johnny Tran's been set up as like a real villain.
Yeah.
And then you see this moment and then he confronts Vin at Race Wars and is like, you embarrassed me in front of my family. And that's what I love about this movie.
Me
versus,
too.
For example, we all watched Torque last night. Anybody? Torque? It didn't have any of that, right? There's no family. There's no, like, there aren't any consequences or stakes for any of the people in Torque.
Except
Adam Scott.
That's why there's not 10 Torques, dude.
I know.
It's true.
It's so
they haven't figured out the secret sauce.
And it, you know, this movie is also about life as someone who struggles with ADD. ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
That's the longest.
Jesse.
Other than a lot of people probably have that tattoo also, if you look at it.
R.I.P. Jesse.
R.I.P.
I know. That guy walked so Aaron Paul could fly.
Yes. Put some some respect on his name, please. That guy was wonderful. And
Breaking Bad was just making Adderall, not meth.
But I was really
like...
That
guy was sitting there watching it, calling his agent. He's like, there's nothing, nothing. And they're like, sorry, you got to watch this show. And he's like, no, man.
That's my whole thing.
No, bitch.
And he did a great job. I would be mad if I were him, too, because like that... You know, at certain points in the movie, I'm like, wow, this movie is really, if we keep on going back and back and back, we land at ADD. And
can I just,
being the cause of all of this.
Yeah, yeah. This movie is about ADD in a sandwich shop.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So the sandwich shop, I've talked about this in the past.
I forgot.
When I saw that Vin Diesel owned a sandwich shop when you first
I
seen it.
I forgot. That they owned a sandwich shop.
Okay, so do they not own it as the years go by?
No.
No.
So I don't think, do we ever return to the sandwich shop? No,
no
right?
No.
What, for 5 minutes?
In which one?
Oh, okay.
In another one?
In three?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's it. It's only that scene in the sandwich.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I love that. I did, by
that's
the way.
That's the scene we're talking about.
That's what we're all talking about.
Right now.
We all, yeah.
We're all caught.
So it's not revisiting. It's not revisiting it if... We are talking about it.
Yeah, we got that one.
It would be it.
We got that one.
I will say, I got to interview with June, the cast of Fast 9, alive on stage.
To call it an interview, Paul. Is...
Did you say alive on stage?
Did you say got alive. To?
Got to.
I got to, alive on stage.
I was blessed to, where I did call Vin Diesel Dom. That was a mistake.
That was
an honest.
By the way,
I like, left
mistake.
My body.
I
when that.
I bet he was thrilled.
I bet he was so psyched.
He answered, didn't he?
He did.
He did.
I did say to to Jordana Brewster, I said, "Wow, Mia's come a long way from making sandwiches. Like, is there been any thought of her going back into that restaurant biz?" And she looked like she didn't remember it.
He made sandwiches. Mia doing what?
She's like, that was 20 years ago.
I loved how Brian's whole like undercover persona was a guy who just loves tuna sandwiches. Yeah.
and I love that that's as much as he needs as an in.
Yeah.
He's just, I go to the shop, I order a sandwich, now I'm in with the crew.
And I mean, to be fair, I'm not surprised the sandwich shop didn't last very long. Like, everybody's like, these sandwiches are terrible. Yes.
Why are you buying them?
Well, he also asks her, like, how's the tuna today? And she's like, it's not good.
Can I ask you a question?
Arguably, she's making it. She could have improved it if she knows. Like,
is there a lot of differentiation tuna-wise day-to-day in real life?
How's the tuna today? You said no one in the history.
Is that like a catch of the day scenario? Like, it's good tuna today.
Sometimes, if I go to Subway, I'll ask if I have a tuna fish sandwich at Subway, which I've stopped doing many years ago. But when I did, I would always ask, is it okay? Like, because they have an idea of how long it's been there. And I'm like...
If you have to ask, you shouldn't eat it.
Yeah, Paul. Paul.
That should be a real rule. If I have to ask, is this safe to eat?
And like,
I should choose different.
What a huge amount of trust to put in these people who work at Subway.
But she seems legitimately angry to be making him a sandwich, but yet it's not taking her away from any other job. Her job seems to be... short order cook. I mean, or a sandwich cook. I mean, it doesn't even look like there's a grill back there.
What is Dom doing in that little room he's in back
there? Oh, I'm sorry.
I really want to know.
I'm sorry.
Scrooge-style accounting.
Do you mean Dom's brooding cage?
Put him in his room.
I'm going to go in the back and brood.
He has like a room like Danny DeVito has in Taxi. Who's calling my name?
By the way, if it's not clear... We loved this movie.
Yeah, it was amazing.
This was exceptional.
But you get why at the end of this movie, like Vin Diesel goes off to become a big movie star. Like
1,000%.
He doesn't do the sequel. He's like, I'm out. That was it. And for him to come back in 4, he's out for 2, and his career kind of arcs in a way where he's like, I'll be back. And he jumps back in, and that's like the beginning of like another.
Now he only makes these movies.
Yeah, that's it. But then you get Paul Walker in this movie, and what I love about Paul Walker in this film is, you know, he's undercover. He looks young. Everyone's young.
Everyone looks hot in this movie. Yeah. Every man, woman, every person.
And the movie's got like a great horny energy to it. Not for nothing.
Well, it's got a great, like, there was, and we talked about this a little bit in the Torque episode, there was sex in these movies, like, or an element
Diesel
of it.
Fully motorboats Michelle Rodriguez at one point.
I wrote the exact same thing down. I was like, these are grown people. I'm not sure if motorboating is.
Okay. It made me laugh like, so hard.
It's such a sexy scene. He like picks her up and puts her on the car, and then he's like,
yeah.
I think I pictured a motorboat. So, like, in the truest sense, it was a motorboat.
I just picture Vin being like, I'll pick her up, I'll put her over here, we'll sit down, I'll motorboat her. Wait a minute,
like,
Vin,
like
back
all
up
car what, guys.
Yeah. You know how you do.
You know
the normal sexual progression of things.
We're in the garage. We're surrounded by motors. Motorboat.
This.
You pick them up. You tear their shirt off. They tear your shirt off. You motorboat.
Now I will say that the original script, this one that was in 2000, dated.
Motorboats, Letty.
Well, they
had motorboats are ferociously.
And he's like,
mimes like motor police.
You're not, but you're not wrong. Like, up until then, I was like, ooh, I like this scene. Like, I like everything that's, oh no, there's a motorboat.
It's a real buzzkill.
When
you're home tonight, hooking up after the show, just sneak a real subtle motorboat in. Just to be
so
connected
silly.
To everybody else
it's
who's
so
doing
silly.
It.
I will say, Paul Walker.
Post it on the Discord. Yeah.
Paul Walker.
But unless you're doing the
whatever
arm
that is,
the cord motion, it's not a true motorboating.
Paul Walker, Eyes of a Husky.
Oh, yeah.
Eyes of a Husky looked amazing.
By the way, in that movie, Snow Dogs with Huskies. So he was like.
Oh, doesn't he play their father?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I was shaved so we could win this race.
I'm a shaved husky.
I'm a husky.
He's so crazy, though. He has such piercing blue eyes. Yeah. He looks so beautiful in this movie. And then to see him during the raid that he's a part of, which is like, he's undercover. Does he need to also do that? But with a big mask on, it's like, oh, that's so clearly still you. We see your husky eyes. Yeah.
I will say this much, that in this film, you know, Brian and Mia, they have this relationship. And in the film, they go out on a first date, which we'll get into. But then they wake up kind of in bed. And, you know, it's alluded to that maybe they had sex, even though they seem both, I think, fully clothed. But in the original draft.
She is naked.
Oh, she is? Okay. All right. Well, in the original. He's blocking a majority of her body. In the original draft.
Oh, no, she's under the covers, to be clear.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so in the
Paul
original.
Paul doesn't see that when he looks in movies. Yeah. He just watches the certain
story
and
I also think he might
stuff.
Think sheets are clothes. Sheets are the clothes
she
of the bed.
Toga as a woman.
I mean, she was wearing the bed's clothes.
Talk to all my friends clothes. Who are ghosts. That's their clothes.
That's their outfit. My Roman friends, my ghost friends.
I would believe that you have a number of ghost stories.
I have a couple. So in the original draft, they go skinny dipping in a stone quarry lake. And I wanted to read
the
this.
The stone quarry lake in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Of course. The L.A. quarry and lake.
So this is the scene description of it. It's pretty funny here. It's like, the black Acura is parked next to a pristine quarry surrounded by woods.
Can the lights come down?
A shriek as Brian runs into a diving leap. Mia on his tail trying to catch him. They soar through the air and plummet into the quarry lake. Howling with laughter, they splash each other playfully. Brian dives under and comes up behind Mia. She screams with delight. They embrace for a long kiss. They pull each other's clothes off. They start to make love in the water.
What?
Only this time, nothing in the world is gonna stop them.
I like that.
Except I would have liked to have seen it.
Except the terrible discomfort of trying to have sex in the water.
In a quarry.
In a quarry. No. Nope. Ow. Oh, ow.
Ooh, quarry water.
We're getting silty sediment water inside of us. You shoved a bunch of quartz in me.
That's a scene where, like, he's in bed with her and the FBI guys call and they're like, we're going to raid the house. If you're cool with it, say yes. And he goes, yes. But, like, what a dumb fucking thing. Like, that's not a conversation. Like, you can't play. Like, even if it's a wrong number, you wouldn't be like, you'd be like, what was that wrong number? Be like, then why'd you just say yes?
Excuse me.
What phone call comprises of the word yes?
Hi, I think I got the wrong number. Am I right? Yes.
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 It's a real bummer.
Would it be correct to say?
For a criminal family, they are not suspicious enough at all. Vince is the only one who is.
He's right.
A piece of shit.
But Vince, he's hungry. Gotta eat.
He's gotta come back sad and kiss Dom's head.
Because I don't have any recollection of the other ones. I am wondering, I'd love to ask, how did they go from drag racing to solving crimes as a team?
Oh boy.
Well, there's a step-by-step process.
Okay, we
also have to spend quite a bit of time in Tokyo.
I see.
Which none of them are in. Except Han.
Who becomes in the other ones.
Yes. Okay, just because after watching this one, I'm like, wow, they do not seem to have any skill set.
Oh, no.
They
can barely steal VCRs.
Yes. Ultimately, they are failures.
Basically, their number one tool is a computer run by a guy with ADD. Like, that, like that's the most tech.
Who's now dead.
Yeah, and they also do some stuff where it's like, hey, man. It's the internet. You can find out anything. Like in 2001, for them to find out anything about Brian Spillner or whatever his name is.
Spillner. That's how you knew they did not think this was going to be a franchise. They're like, what should we name him? Brian Spillner.
Spillner.
I did feel watching this like, aw, they have no idea what's ahead for them. Oh, the adventures you're going to go on over the next 20 years. Oh, look at you. You're so cute.
The amount your head will grow, Vin.
You don't
feet.
Even...
It will be feet wider by the time this adventure is over.
You've probably not even been on an airplane. Never mind dropped out of one while inside of a car. You haven't fought a submarine or been to space yet.
Yeah.
You don't even know Tyrese yet.
There's so much. By the way, this movie is, like, it is a, not, I really liked it, I enjoyed it, but there are some sloppy elements. Like, there's one part, and I couldn't...
Hard disagree.
One moment of it, and I was like, I couldn't tell if this is, like, a conscious choice or not, but when their car is blown up by the gang, right?
Yeah.
Brian says, like, hey, man, what was that about? And he's like, long story. Then the car blows up.
And then they say it again.
The same line. It goes like, what was that about? Long story. And then they cut out. Yep. It's like, it was.
I actually rewinded it because I was like, oh, there's some sort of glitch in the system. Yeah.
Like, they just had two things happen they couldn't explain in like 90 seconds. And the only line of dialogue they could think of to make it work was, what was that all about? I don't know. And they said it twice. You should not. What? They should know. Those guys did nothing. They pulled them over in their motorcycles, drove them away, blew up their car, and that's it.
Well, and then also, I don't know that much about Nas, but does this movie make...
Nas, man.
Nas.
I'm on Nas right now.
Nas has become...
That's why you're going so fast.
I'm fucking raging right now, dude.
Nas is displayed like in those cases at diners where the desserts go around. Like, it's like... But I thought that was an illegal thing to have Nas, but...
Well, that's what I kept on wondering. I also didn't know what Nas was, but I thought, well, isn't this sort of like doing steroids, or isn't this a kind of a performance-enhancing drug? I would love to see how they are as racers
with no Nas. Damn, no Nas.
Wow.
Yeah, because all you have to do... Because then I didn't understand what is the art of... What is the art of drag racing? Is it about your racing skills and your handling skills?
Or
is it about just how you can soup up a car?
I think that's part of it, is the souping up and being proud of
all the ways you do it. Because do you remember, there is the race, I believe in the one you were talking about, Paul, the one that's maybe in the Dominican Republic,
yes,
where Vin is in a car that's so old it doesn't have NOS, but he manages to crack open the engine and pour like alcohol in it or something and do the exact same thing to the motor.
In
like,
this isn't in this movie.
No, in one of the other
ones.
There's always a way in which they push it to the red line and then they're like, I have to add a stick of dynamite to this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not dangerous enough. But yeah, I think the souping it up of the car is
part of
this whole aesthetic.
Wow.
No?
No,
right?
Well, I'm looking,
audience is mostly racers, right?
That's why they were so psyched about the race wars.
Well, I mean, when you type in,
I would start the chant again, but I think I'd get in trouble.
We can't start it.
I mean, when you type in NOS, it really is just saying it's laughing gas.
It's
just used by dentists. Like,
really?
Yeah. It's nitrous oxide.
Okay,
so then I guess they figured out how to take that, and it says it.
I don't think they figured it out.
Rob Cohen figured it out.
Vin Diesel was like, what about dental stuff?
Yeah, so
I was at the dentist the other day.
Vin was like, what about this?
What about this stuff?
What about whatever's in Dennis Hopper's thing from Blue Velvet?
Yeah, I want that stuff.
Family.
You guys seen Little Shop of Horrors?
It's used in cars to boost the output of the engine for a limited duration. Its first application dates back to World War II, when it was used to increase the power of air jets.
Vin Diesel did it in Saving Private Ryan. That was the first time.
That's where he learned.
Spielberg, I got this.
I invented it in that movie.
But yeah, so I mean, that's, you know, and I guess what they're doing is putting more NOS than normal, because when Vin Diesel lifts up the passenger seat...
Is there a normal amount of NOS?
Well, he seems like he has a lot of NOS.
You're talking one, two tanks. That's your normal NOS.
Yeah.
No.
He got four or five tanks on the seat. That's abnormal NOS.
For me, I use a quarter tank of NOS to get me home. And listen, I cannot use NOS anytime I want. If I want to stop NOSing, I can stop NOSing.
By the way, I just don't want to. By the way, nitrous oxide has found its application in drift races like Formula Drift and limited usage on urban roads due to safety and legal reasons. But there it is. And wet NOS, harder. Dry NOS, easier to use.
Ooh, yeah. That's why I use wet NOS.
Please never. Let's all agree to never say wet NOS again.
What did you just say?
I like a nice wet NOS.
Oh.
I
wouldn't believe what I got into last night. That NOS was wet.
That was some wet.
So wet.
NOS. At first it wasn't, but then it was.
I got two tanks of sopping wet NOS.
I hate dry NOS. Can barely get in that NOS.
When I go to the car place, I'm like, how is that NOS fresh? And you know, if you gotta ask, it's not good NOS.
Top me up with some of that moist NOS.
What I want to go back to, June, is what you said early on about the cops and the FBI in that house, and that one line where they go, he's like, get us some iced cappuccinos.
Four.
And he's like,
four.
Four.
Four iced cappuccinos.
And he goes, he's like, he asked them, and you think he's going to be like, you want that decaf or regular? And he was like, regular, you fucking dumbass. And he's like, decaf. They pay it off with him sipping whipped cream on top out of a glass mug. Like,
So I thought about that scene and those cappuccinos I'm still thinking about it. And I think what was happening is that cop was like, I gotta de-escalate the energy in this room. Like, I'd love to stay caffeinated. I need it. But after what I've seen here, all of these different relationships and how things are amping up, I'm going to say decaf. Now, what I was really distressed by was the way in which those cappuccinos were presented. I can no more imagine drinking an iced cappuccino on my teeth without a straw.
But
why,
by the way,
those glass mugs?
Well, this is what I read here. So we're going to play the scene for a second. But what I read here was like that this one cop is always like, hey, can I make you an iced cappuccino? I make a great iced cappuccino. Like, Phillips, we don't need iced cappuccinos all the time. And then, like, and he was like, oh, give Philip, I'll throw him a bone. Let's get the iced cappuccinos. Like, this is a big moment for
him.
Like,
that's
I feel like if you look at the cop as like a guy who's always trying to get the iced cappuccinos going.
But
like,
think about how difficult it would be. They're at a house in the hills. That means there's a full-on cappuccino maker in this
room. Of course there is, Jason. Phillips, I imagine Phillips there was.
Is like so happy. He's like, hey, if we're going to be at the house, I'll bring my cappuccino machine. He's like, we don't need your cappuccino.
It seems like they've spared no expense being at this house, I got to say.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they were at this house and they were like, we're going to use everything. Yeah, every appliance,
well, these guys
bring your laundry.
Like a few VCRs. We should spend $8 million catching them.
Yes. Well, that's
just so they can hang out.
Just so they can have a debrief with their one undercover. You could do that in an alley. Like, you don't need to do it.
Now I'm like, maybe that's why the FBI agent was like, this has to close up. We have to close up this deal in 36 hours because we are spending.
We are hemorrhaging money.
We already signed. We already said we're leaving this month and we have to get out.
Well, also because it's $6 million, but like Brian's car, the green car that explodes,
that's an
enormous expense gone. He needs another car. That's a whole other thing. They keep pouring money into Brian, who is more and more just going full-blown, like, I'm out of here. I'm helping the bad guys. I needed more of Ted Levine in the Gary Busey in Point Break part. Like, Ted Levine, who's Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs, who is Brian's handler, is very passive in a way, and I love Ted Levine, very passive in a way that you needed the insane gonzo nonsense of Gary Busey as a presence in Brian's life.
Right.
I feel like to give any weight to that part.
But
of
by
it.
The way, also, this is a twist. Like, as the audience, we all now know the backstory. We're 23 years in.
He's a
no,
cop.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I never knew that Brian was a cop.
Oh, wow.
Of course not.
So how did it feel to you?
Of course not.
I was shocked.
Yeah,
I was
you don't
really
find out
stunned.
He's a cop till I think 37 minutes into
yeah.
the movie, and I was watching you with my wife Lauren, and I was like, you know, we were like 33 minutes into the movie, and I'm like, it's exactly like Point Break, but they're not, you know, doing any crimes. And she was like, yeah, except at Point Break, he's a cop, and I was like,
oh.
He is a cop, and she went, what?
And I've seen all the others, and there's no reference.
No,
to
no,
him
you're
as
right,
a cop.
You're right.
All right, so here
she has seen every other Fast and Furious.
Yes,
movie.
Exactly.
What a great, that must have been incredible.
It was shocking.
It blew her mind.
Changed everything. I can't wait to rewatch all of the others.
By the way,
I like
two.
That's it.
Now that I know this, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yep.
And two is like his journey of like that's where he goes and learns. Like, he's like, now I'm out. Now I'm just in culture, but he's all, well, it's
because he's in it, but Vin isn't.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That Vin doesn't come back until 4.
Yeah.
He makes a
and
cameo
none of them
appearance.
Are
4 is the first one with all of them back, and the tagline for 4 is new model, original parts.
Yep.
Which,
perfect.
I don't know how I'd feel being called a part.
Yeah, the first one is Vin and him. The second one is just Paul Walker meeting with some of the people you'll see in the future. And then the third one is none of them and in Tokyo.
Introducing Sung Kang.
Yeah.
So why does Paul Walker leave the Force second one?
You know, there's an alternate ending of this one that was on the version I bought on iTunes that was him quitting. It was him going back to Vin Diesel's house again, which was funny because he had already done it. And this time the handler was dropping him off. And Letty's there, or not Letty, Jordana Brewster. What's her name in these fucking movies?
Mia.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. And he's like, hey, Mia. And then they're like, have you seen Dom? And she's like, no, Dom split. Like, you're a fucking cop still. And he's like, I quit. And she's like, whoa. And then that's the end.
Because, like, the second movie opens with, like, a little prologue that's also, like, it feels like it mixes. I can't remember it. I remember literally having a portable DVD player and watching it like that and being like, oh, yeah. This
that
is
you
good.
Got that was stolen?
Yeah.
Did
by
you,
the way, all
I got
I
it from some bald guy. Yeah, with no sleeves.
I would love it if Fast 10's like promo material was a little DVD player with the movie inside.
By the way, what I would have loved to like put him on the scent, because at a certain point, Brian doesn't know it's Vin Diesel. Like, at one point, Vin could have been like, hey, take a DVD player. Like, you never see them move the objects. They don't do shit with them. Yeah, they just...
The best part,
they don't seem to have that much money. They work at a cafe sandwich shop and sell tuna sandwiches.
Bad tuna sandwiches.
I know.
They need Marcus Lemonis.
When Brian... My favorite part was when Brian is in Johnny Tram's
Yeah.
Yes, a cave or whatever that situation. Work,
garage.
Place of work.
Garage.
Yeah, place
everyone
of business.
Has a garage.
Do you think everybody's garage they call the cave?
Yeah, the man cave.
The car cave.
Okay,
you know.
I laughed so hard when he spots the VCR/DVDs and he looks at them. He can see clearly there's there are columns of VCRs and DVDs. If that's not enough. He goes over and then he looks and continues to look, like him processing the information that
like
there
the
is a VCR.
The box is so identifiable.
And
like,
it's such,
comically
yes.
so.
And it's such a tell for the undercover cop to
obviously,
be like,
that's a VCR, there's another one, and there's another one over here, and that's also
but
one.
By the way, but
and then
but,
this
but, by
box
the way.
Is as
hey,
well.
Hey, what you doing over there, man? What you looking at?
Huh? But by the way, this huh? is what I'll say.
It takes so much when, time over there.
When the twist is that they're bought legally, if you went to someone's house and they had 60 DVD, I would
also,
walk over like...
No.
Also, somehow Johnny Tran has
another one,
legally
and
purchased
one.
An enormous volume of the exact same Panasonic TV VCR combo.
What?
How is that possible?
He works for an agency here in Los Angeles and his boss was like, hey, we're giving out these as Christmas gifts to all my clients. So can you hold them at your
like,
garage?
I was like, he's somehow marking them up. Like, what could the profit possibly be
yeah.
here?
What's
Johnny
the point
Tran
of
is like Crazy Johnny, like Crazy Eddie. Like
Johnny,
that's what I thought. Did he get some sort of a deal on a bulk order?
In my mind, he had to have bought them from Vin.
Were they different ones altogether?
No, Jason.
No,
well,
I know. But
this
I know.
In
but...
a world where VCRs are currency, man.
What if it's all tracked back to like early internet purchasing? He's like, I thought I bought one. I bought 1,000.
I clicked on the wrong thing.
TV VCRs were the original
Listen.
Crypto.
How many do you have? One?
I just want to
play. What if it breaks? You don't have 47 spares?
Paul knows this, but my dad used to only shop in like wholesale. For some reason, someone gave him a wholesale license and he would only shop wholesale for us. So every Christmas we would open up like 12 boxes of yo-yos.
That sounds great.
Everything
the 12 yo-yos of Christmas.
I love that.
I'm not Christian. I'm Jewish. I've only heard of the 12 yo-yos of Christmas.
One
on the fifth
more yo-yo.
Oh my God, that was so wild.
More yo-yo.
Nine yo-yos. Eight yo-yos. Seven yo-yos.
As a Jewish bro, we've
Are
always been like, that
me?
Seems weird. But I guess if you're saying that's a thing.
What's interesting is, and I'm not lying.
Yeah.
Every year my mother gives me a yo-yo for Christmas.
What? Wow.
Just one.
Just one.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm glad to know we're in the same club.
Absolutely. Listen, when slap bracelets came out, I was like, I own 5,700 slap bracelets.
By the way, I will also tell you this. If you don't want to drive yourself crazy and you have a child, never give them a yo-yo because all my kids did with yo-yos were like, just drop. And they go, Dad, can you rewire it? I'm like... Drop. I'm like, and like, you gotta like flick, it's drop.
True.
And like,
it's true.
Just, fuck, I threw it away. I threw it in the trash. I don't
not
know where
good enough for a yo-yo.
I don't know where it went. I lost it.
I'm get a yo-yo anymore.
I'm going to start sending your son's yo-yos.
By the way, I did such a purge and it felt so bad when they went to school the other day. I just got a trash bag out and I went in there. I was like, let's go.
Oh, I
blah,
love
blah,
it.
Blah, blah, blah. Just throw, it's so fulfilling.
It's so great when they're gone to get rid of all their shit. It really is.
I don't
really
realize
good.
It.
Feels
a
great.
Cuckoo clock. I don't give a
gone
shit about that cuckoo clock.
They're gonna go. My dad still remembers every toy his mother threw away. It comes up every once in a while. There'll be like a slinky on the floor, and my dad will be like, in 1965.
I want to play the scene of the cat.
It would be amazing if you could find, purchase, and give him all of those toys.
Every single one. He'd be like, what's this?
This is the cappuccino scene, but again, look at it through the eyes that this guy, the other cop who makes him, was so psyched about it, brought his own machine, and here we go, here we go.
Okay, let's talk about it. Muse, why don't you make us 4 iced cappuccinos, please? Come on.
That's
regular
his request.
Decaf, Sarge.
Decaf.
That gets its own
4 hijackings single. In 2 months, and we don't have
Boom.
Any. DVD players and digital cameras alone worth $1.2 million, which
carry.
Brings the grand total.
Jeez, deuce.
Was We're this in the
like?
What,
look at this.
Was it in the script?
Heist.
Was it in the script this
lips.
Way? Or is they also, it's so...
I don't know. For those
this
of us...
shot, he's so... You've never seen a sadder guy with an iced cappuccino.
You
he's,
know, and you
he's
know
not
the,
drinking the iced cap, guys.
You know the,
we put whipped cream on it, Brian. Come on.
You know the DP was like, it would work better if he's in the center of the frame. And they're like, no. We need to see the cappuccino just
they're
left.
Like, Paul, this could is you a, put it closer to you? This no, is, I don't want...
This is a two-shot between him and the cappuccino. These are two of the
way,
main characters of this movie.
If we are following the scene, like the camera here, so we
what
see...
What a terrible frame.
we see the crotch this of a police...
This guy's full midsection.
Objectively the worst part of a human male's body.
Where Levine, the belt crosses.
You know, Ted
no
Levine's
one wants to see
like,
where the belt
I'm like
crosses.
Right above the belly button to right below the balls.
And he's like,
that's what you're looking for.
And he knows, he's like, I think I came in too early. And they're like, it doesn't matter. We're going to use it anyway.
By the way,
and
all
Ted
I
Levine's
wanted,
like, do I have to drink this?
All I wanted from Ted Levine is to have whipped cream on his nose for the majority of the scene.
Yes. You know, he's like, I don't want to drink it. It's going to get messy all over my face.
I feel like this is like a bit that happened on set. Like Rob Cohen was like, you know what I just
no,
had?
No, Paul, this
an
was
iced cappuccino.
This was a part of the storytelling. It really was. This was like, can we afford to be caffeinated right now? Well, can our masculinity handle it? Or do we need to...
It did feel to me to be a shot at the police to be like, here they are in a fancy house in the hills drinking
that's
fancy coffee.
Yeah, okay,
this
see
movie
that.
Is anti-cop.
It is.
That's
this movie
sure.
hates
it
cops.
It
and
is.
And at the end,
because
you're rooting for the cop to be like, fuck being a cop,
yes.
go.
Yes, you're rooting.
And that's what he does, and he's right.
He helps the criminals get away, and he yeah. quits the force. Because this is like
by the
saying
way,
the
that's why Diesel. These movies are so successful.
Yes.
Honestly,
yes.
a generation of people saw it and were like, fuck the cops!
Yes! They're
and
fancy
say,
pants, all of them!
They don't even try to, like, smooth over. Like, he's not even, like, the bad guy with a heart of gold. Like, he's equally bad. In the like, he's doing all the bad shit, too.
Okay,
like,
can I distill it into two things,
yeah.
right? The cops are fancy decaf iced cappuccinos. Our family... Coronas.
And that's it. Only Corona.
Boom.
And
not just Corona. A Corona.
Snapples.
And a Snapple. And a Snapple for Mia.
And a Corona you took from another guy yep. who was already drinking it.
By
like,
the way,
that's
gross.
A real honor.
That is not, so gross. No. There's no way I'm drinking Vince's beer.
Okay.
No way.
No disgusting. Bigger honor
You're
than
definitely
this.
Getting HPV now. From that Corona.
Okay, but I really do have
that's
to
ask. That's
why
we put lime on there to kill oh. the HPV. The human papilloma
disgusting.
Virus.
Did okay.
Family.
Okay. If I said to a man, I'd like something to drink, get me something to drink, anything cold, and if he came back with a Snapple, that was such a red flag. That was so distressing to me.
Also, because she says, let's go get me a drink. That's what gets them to leave the tent
right.
situation. And then she's got a peach Snapple.
He gets her. He decides that
this movie
is
about
what she
beverages.
Needs.
Yeah.
It passes not the Bechdel test, but the beverage test.
It's got multiple types of beverages individually shown in scenes.
It's true. And I was like, what are we saying here? That she doesn't get to drink Corona because she's more of a homemaker. We've seen her. Washing the dishes, we've seen her making a tuna sandwich.
Well,
I have a drink.
Is it possible that the movie is positing that she is underage?
Whoa.
Oh.
Well, because here it is. Vin Diesel was supposed to be 24.
What?
She's underage.
Wait, what?
He's legitimately
what?
He's 42 in the movie.
Vin Diesel was
never
34 when he made this movie, but he's playing 24.
I'm 25. I can play player. I'm 24,
he?
Yeah.
He's 34 when he makes
this. I'm a little boy.
I'm just 24. I just got out of school, family.
I don't know what's what.
That's way, interesting. So you think they
she's definitely underage then.
Yeah, I think they're saying
she
plays
a 9-year-old.
And
that's
Brian,
like, why are you always ordering tuna sandwiches from
Brian
this
is 14.
But then
Brian's
that's
like
even
21
more
Jump
upsetting
Street.
Because yes. It's like, okay, we've taken the care as a production to make sure she's not drinking alcohol.
Yes.
But he fucks her.
Yeah.
Just a few scenes and later.
And his bosses aren't at all like, why are you fucking the underage sister of the guy you're supposed to be getting?
It's like, they're stealing VCRs, man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let them go.
It.
Balls are out the window on this one. We're stopping monsters.
I do want to just call out one piece of, like, interesting trivia here about that line. At the house party, when Dom says to Brian, you can have any beer you want as long as it's a Corona, it is a reference to Henry Ford. Because Henry okay. Ford said, you can have any color you want as long as it's black.
Oh, it went with the Model T?
Yeah, the Model
T. Oh, interesting.
So that was, I mean, look at the deep, like, weaving it in to car okay, history.
Okay. Henry Ford also said Hitler was right.
Yeah. Henry, a lot of...
Also a deleted scene.
A deleted scene
with Vince and Dom.
Yep. Vin, why do you keep saying Hitler's right? It's a Henry Ford reference. What? I like, it's cool. It's a car thing. What? Hitler was right. No, Vin, that's not
Vin,
cool.
Vin, we got it. Okay,
that's
maybe...
Not good.
The Luftwaffe was only run on Nas planes.
I want all of the cars to be Volkswagens. I did like when Johnny Tran waterboards a guy with car lube.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
I was like, this is fucking Guantanamo Bay level.
Yes, that was stuff.
Oil mouth.
Yeah. That was like really hard. There was a bunch of good scenes in here. What I really liked about the movie genuinely is I was invested in the... Again, bare bones crime story.
Yep.
Yeah. As much as the racing and all that stuff, but the crime story was good in the sense that it kept you guessing who was the bad guy. It kept and everybody seemed capable of real violence. Go ahead. Sorry, you looked at me and I thought you were gonna...
Oh, no, I was just listening to you. Yeah, no. Well, I mean, but by the way, if you're talking about crime, what do you think is a better montage? You know, that famous sequence in Goodfellas when everyone's getting arrested to the Eric Clapton song, or here when Korn is playing and everyone's getting
Wait, is that also the scene where Dom and Letty are having the motorboat
That's
scene?
The motorboat yeah, yeah, yeah. Scene.
That's
yeah.
the same scene as the FBI raid
the
on Johnny Tran.
Go, 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 go.
Now, I'm going to say something about Dom.
All it needed was the voiceover from Henry Hill style.
This is the first time I've seen this movie. So having seen the other ones, again, in no particular order, I always thought that the two of them had a love I've never known. That they had Dom and Letty.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But now watching this, I'm like, he's a fucking dick. Like, why is she protecting him? Why is she okay with this behavior? Over and over, he's such a wandering
guy. Well, because they're just 24 years old. They're figuring it out.
I guess.
No,
it just
no, no.
Wasn't...
Everybody's behaving insanely.
Right, but I never saw in this movie, in their beginnings, I didn't see that he really loved her. I mean, obviously he was upset that she was, you know, almost killed in a car, but I didn't see why they were such a wonderful match.
What's interesting is they seem to, like, have figured each other out in a sense that he's, like, in front of her saying to the other guys, so are there any chicks here tonight or whatever, blah, 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 which sends her into a thing. And then she's like, why don't we go upstairs and you give me a massage? And then that's what they do.
I know.
That seems to be their foreplay.
And
I will say that Brian
is what is always interesting about these movies to me, that these movies are very homoerotic, and then they're in certain heterosexual relationships that are also homoerotic. And
I think Brian and Mia Brian and Mia was supposed to be the romance.
The love, yes.
That was supposed to be... Like,
they have the love story, and I agree with you. And this is the end. I will say this is the beginning and the end of compelling sexuality inside of these movies.
Yes.
Okay,
so... There's no motorboating in any of them.
You've seen your last motorboat.
Ludicrous.
Yeah, okay. But there is motorboating in Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah. I think Hobbs does it to Shaw.
You want me to bloody motorboat, Jasper? You could motorboat the Rock. Yeah. You could motorboat the Rock. Let me say that. And he would crush your fucking head. Oh,
my lips are broken. I didn't even know that was possible.
How dare you motorboat?
Oh, man. I want to go to the audience and see what they think about this movie, because I'm sure there are questions out there. So if you have a good question, you have a thought, an observation, something maybe about Nas or anything at all that you can bring to the table, maybe you're an extra, maybe you're an actor in it, let us know.
What I will say, like, background, incredibly, in this movie, background, all the people that are making up the big crowds at race wars at the other race in Los Angeles, they're just normal people. It's just a bunch of random.
They're real. I was watching the behind the scenes. They're the people who owned the cars. And they put out notices where it's like, are you a cool, do you have a cool fucking car? We're doing a movie about cool cars. This is your fucking shit. If you want your cool fucking car in our movie, show up at this place.
By the way,
and like hundreds of motherfuckers showed up with their cars. Wow. And those are the people.
By the way, I apologize if I already told this story on the podcast, but that's what we did for Piranha 3D, where we said.
With piranhas,
hey,
though.
Promise. And
do you have a cool piranha?
Do you have a pet piranha?
Is your piranha all torqued up?
They still listen to the radio and they come out. No, but we would be driving around Lake Havasu and you'd hear, like, if you were missing a limb, you should be an extra in this brand new movie, Piranha 3D. Because what they wanted to do is save money on the final attack scene. So if people were missing a limb, they could easily make them an attack victim.
If you're missing a limb.
I will say hundreds of people showed up.
I do not know how to react.
The people in this room are so uncomfortable at that story, and yet you all chanted race wars at the beginning of the show. You were so happy to say race wars, but now you're like, oh no, I can't laugh at the amputee joke Paul told.
It's not a joke. It's
hypocrite.
A true story of
shame
how
on
films
you.
Are made.
But like, if you are missing a limb and like hearing that on the, hearing an ad start with an excited, are you missing a limb? You'd be like,
he
fuck
forgot.
Yeah,
volume
yeah,
up.
Funny you should ask.
All right, we got, we have the maker of the Trito shirts here, Pete the S-Man. All right, what do you got?
So, Pete, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for doing this residency. Yeah. So there are only two mentions of family in this movie. One where Tran says he was disrespected when the SWAT raided it. And the second is Brian's boss saying how Brian needs to choose. So none of the people that we know as promoting family in the later movies have no mention.
So you think that Dom co-opted family from Johnny Tran?
Oh, this guy's freaking out, Paul. Oh, yeah.
Because the whole living a quarter mile at a time, at the end of that line, he says it's 10 seconds. Nothing matters. Not the mortgage, not the shop, not the team. So it's just interesting.
Ooh, so they went and they wrecked on family.
Else? You're the next line is, for those 10 seconds, I'm free.
Yeah. Wow.
Free from my family. That was,
you're right,
that
actually.
That really resonates with her.
I nothing. Do think the cops speak to family. Is that what you said? Yes, the cops speak to family in a very impactful way.
But we do get the first of many iconic picnic table time to say grace.
It was
scenes.
Oh yeah, like, I would argue they show don't tell the family stuff with Vin. Like they are a family. Whether he likes it or not. Well, during that 10 seconds he's thinking about his family.
I think that what they did was gravity was what they were going for, and they realized family was better because he's like, Dom is gravity. He pulls everybody in.
Everything gets pulled to him.
Which is not as cool of a metaphor as family.
You could tell that scene where he's walking around the car like making fun of Brian. Like, that was the greatest day of Vin Diesel's life. Like, when there was like 200 people paid to laugh at his jokes and like really like pay attention to him and think he was like, where the direction everyone got was like, this is the coolest fucking guy you've ever seen in your entire life.
Everything that, he says explodes.
Everything. And you could see that day he was like, I'm gonna make these movies for 24 years.
Okay, yes, your name and your question.
My name's Kayla, and my question is, do you guys have any insight of what happened? Because the woman in the first race, she goes up to Ja Rule, puts her hand, or his hand on her tits, and is like,
exactly
whether you win or lose.
I have absolute recall for this moment.
Whether you win or lose, this Alice is yours, but if you win, you get her too. And then after the race, this white woman says the N-word. And then it's you lost, bitch. So I'm just confused because she just told him that.
He didn't
win. It
didn't
matter if he won or lost.
No, she says, if you win this,
she
says, say,
if you win or lose, you get me.
This is for you, but if you win.
But if you win, you get her.
Yeah. You're right, you're right.
It seems like she wasn't totally honest.
Whoa. That woman was a poor moral character. And she was a racist, but willing to offer Ja Rule a threesome in exchange for winning a street race.
I will also say that street race... I know that they're waiting for...
That exact same thing happened to me outside of Largo before the show.
This podcast is funny, you can't be...
If you can get everybody to chant Race Wars, then you can have her, too.
Here's your objective.
Race Wars.
There are a couple things about that race, the street race. One, which is like, okay, I like the idea that they listen to the police scanner to find out when the police are busy.
Good
then
news,
they do the
guys,
race.
There's a murder in Glendale.
I thought for sure they would have built, they would have, why wouldn't you, if you want to have the race happen, why wouldn't you cause problems as far away as possible
no,
for the police to go?
No, they're just waiting for a
murder. Just waiting.
Yeah, hey, guys, if we're lucky, there'll be another murder tonight.
But
we can
then,
drive our cars around in the wake of the murder.
But they're waiting like the way that you're supposed to wait, like a cell phone, like airport parking lot. Like, they're all just lined up in the street. Like, you would think of any cop would be like, oh, shit, why? There's like 500 cars here.
Well, that's going to race, no?
Well, this is a movie with no, like, uniformed police. It's
right.
Only undercover and, like, detectives and feds. There's no cop cars. There's no like, street-level police presence whatsoever.
They can no longer afford it because of this operation.
Well, there's even on the highways, there's none of the stuff in any of the robberies. There's never police, which is incredibly insane.
All right. Your name, your question.
My name's John. So when they have their, like, flashy racing cars, but when they're doing the crimes, they have the all-black Hondas. But they've installed fluorescent green ground effects on their stealth cars. Why?
Right, and as a matter of fact, it's one of the defining things that they could use to... They call it out. Yeah, you're right. That's a suspicious...
The answer is because it's fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I've worked with Neil Moritz, the producer of the Fast and Furious films, who's in the movie for 1 second. He's in the scene where they're like, how much does that Ferrari cost or some shit? There's so many parts of this movie where, like, that's a producer of the movie. That's a producer of the movie.
Wow.
That's a producer of the movie. Like, why else would that guy be in this fucking thing? But
the pizza guy is Rob Cohen.
Rob Cohen's a pizza guy, but I've worked with Neil Moritz. I met him. He produced The Green Hornet, and honestly, he produced. I produced The Boys with him and Preacher, and I've done a lot of stuff with him over the years, so I know him pretty well. And when we were making The Green Hornet, there was an argument over a part of the movie, and it was like me and Michelle Gondry and him and Evan, my partner, all like arguing over something, and Neil like hit the table, and he goes, listen, there's logic and there's cool, and cool wins every time.
I'm not going to disagree.
Holy shit.
I'm true. Not going to disagree.
That's also a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That could be, that's like a...
I was like, fuck yeah!
That's like... Wow, that's huge. That could be the tagline of any movie we've ever done.
I love that, though, because it is true. It's like, you like it, all it needs to do is work in the moment. If you don't question it in the moment, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
Oh, that's great.
It was amazing.
That's so funny.
Okay, hey, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Tim.
Good. All right, so, Tim, what's your question?
If you are an undercover cop in the LAPD and you need to triangulate the location of a cell phone, is the person you call who can confirm your identity as a police officer and provide the pertinent information customer service at Nextel?
Yeah, you're right.
Is that who he calls? I couldn't understand. So he's just calling his cell phone provider?
Yeah, and she's like, how can I help you?
She does seem to get it.
But by the way,
and he's like, here's my police badge number, and she's like, okay.
But like the
it's on a post-it on my computer.
Can Nextel do a trace
on a cell phone number?
But the other thing was, like, it seemed like that was a big part of it. Just give me his number. Like, that's what you were trying to find out?
If I'm in a car and I push OnStar, can I be like, I need a location on Paul Scheer's cell phone?
We got it.
And they'll be like, are you a cop? And you'll be like, yep. They'll be like, all right.
He's at Subway again?
It's me, Bosch. I need a location.
Must be a good tuna day at Subway because he's back there.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Your name and your question.
My name is Crystal. Also, it's my husband and I, our first time out of the house on a date night since we had a baby 11 months ago.
Oh, yes. Congratulations.
What's the baby's name, and is it Dom?
Yeah, of course. Dom Toretto. Our last name is not Toretto, but we decided. No, his name is Brady. He should be asleep by now. But
he'll be listening, hopefully. So he'll appreciate the shout-out.
One day. So I read somewhere that Timothy Oliphant passed on the role of Dominic Toretto. Yes. And he was allegedly quoted as saying, I just thought, well, this will just be stupid. And I thought, no one is going to want to see this movie 8 or 9 different times. So my question is, as we reflect on Fast 1 and we approach Fast 10, if you could, how would you incorporate Timothy Oliphant into the franchise?
Oh, a great question.
Easy. Bring in Marshall Raylan Givens.
He would be a great bad. He would be like a great, bad guy for them is a good guy.
He would be. Yeah. He would be a great addition. I'm surprised he was considered.
Are we sure he's not in one of these?
I would be shocked. He would also be a good person in the Kurt Russell, Mr. Nobody.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, in that world that sometimes comes into it. He would be good in that role.
Well, by the way, we talked about casting there, and I wanted to come up and talk about this because Rob Cohen's original casting choices. Mario Lopez is Dom. Mark Paul Gosselaar as Brian.
What? Wait.
And Dustin Diamond as Jesse.
No, wait, no. This is not real.
And the studio passed because they thought the reteaming of the Saved by the Bell audience would be confusing.
You think?
No. There's no way.
That's the research I got. I mean, there's a lot. Mark Wahlberg at one point, Christian Bale, Eminem. A lot of people went through it. Mia Toretto was originally written for Eliza Dushku, but she turned it down.
That's great. Would have been great.
That would have been great.
Vin Diesel wouldn't sign on immediately, and it took several script changes. So to go back to Street Wars versus Race Wars, that might have been it.
Can we add more edge to the name of this racing competition?
And this is the other one, too, which was at one point the studio really wanted Colin Farrell to be Dom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on board for that.
I like that,
I
too.
I like that, too, yeah.
Yeah.
That was post that movie.
But there is, there is perhaps no greater, true, synthesis of actor and role than Vin Diesel into Dom Toretto.
Oh, yeah. Like star-making performance?
He is. If you ask him, are you Dominic Toretto?
Yes,
which I did.
He would say...
answered.
And I bet he didn't bat an eye.
He didn't.
I am Dominic Toretto.
And I felt embarrassed, and I didn't even stop myself to apologize because he just went with it.
It's the same as I feel as though... He would answer to, hey, Dom, the same way that I feel like Stallone would respond to...
Hey, Rock.
Hey, Rock. You know, to just... They feel completely synonymous with those roles.
Well, I think that the actor and the role, they've completely... There is now no difference.
Correct.
You know?
Because he's been doing it for 20-plus years.
So crazy. Well, obviously, we have an opinion about this movie that it fucking rules, but we also want to hear some second opinions. So it is now time for second opinions.
Well, this film I liked it quite a bit. I don't know why you called it shit, because of my favorites, this is one. Guess that's my second opinion, yeah. Guess that's my second opinion.
Give it up for Stephanie. There you go.
Perfect.
Give you one of these.
Perfect.
That's amazing. Great job.
Great job.
That was great.
Way to go. These are 5-star reviews on Amazon. As you know, people love this movie. 19,000 reviews, 84% are 5-star, only 2% are 1-star. Whew, boy, oh boy. They're all, here's the one thing. Sometimes when you read these reviews, you'll see something that pops up. These, all caps. I've never seen wildly all caps. This one starts out
they're
from...
They're furious.
Boss Man writes, "This is the first movie. Very gritty and intense. It's my opinion, this is the best movie. A lot of substance. The newer ones got more special effects, but lacks good story and substance. Rest in peace, John Walker." Five stars.
Rest in peace, Walker, Texas Ranger.
John Walker.
It's sad that guy also lost a guy named John Walker. Yeah, that's a weird...
Mr. Lynch writes this.
David Lynch reviewed this movie? Yeah.
Mr. Lynch writes, "Movie was great addition to franchise." It's the first one.
Addition!
So, there we go.
It is a great addition.
Samantha
Honestly, for
Connor.
Me, the way that I watched it, it was a nice addition.
Jude wrote
it
that.
Really was.
They all work. Any order you see them, and they work. That's the other thing about it.
I would believe that coming from David Lynch.
Samantha.
Great addition to franchise.
Samantha Connor writes, "The actors, 5 stars." And then we'll end on this one. The title is called Homoerotic Post-Structuralist Canon. And it says, "Pretty good. Would have been hotter if the dudes actually made out." 5 stars.
Agree.
If they weren't cowards, they would let that happen.
I mean, I feel like Momoa is simply in this movie for the chance of someone to make out with
him. We talked about it in the breakdown of the trailer when we watched it for the Last Looks episode, and all we want is for them to kiss at the end.
I want Momoa to kiss somebody. This movie has been translated into many different languages, and this is what we got. In Canada, it's called Fast and Dangerous. In Finland...
That's not true.
Wait a minute. Seth, why did you guys? Why did you guys do that?
That is not true.
See, that's why Canada is bullshit.
Why you couldn't understand it?
Because they think furious is dangerous, and they're wrong.
Dangerous is not dangerous.
It is as rapide et dangereux.
Well, maybe in Montreal. Okay.
Oh wow.
In Finland, the title translates to Crazy Heads.
I like that.
In Greece, Jason, it's called the Street Fighters.
Done. What exactly is one, though? I'd like to know.
Hungary, it's called At Deadly Pace. Lithuania, It's Fast.
Let me guess what it's called in Germany. Race Wars! This is our shit!
Finally, a movie gets us!
I mean, this movie is...
all the German reviews are misleading.
Misleading. Don't care for it.
Came for the race was too many cars.
There were some Volkswagens and Fords, which we like. Heil Henry, but in general, misleading.
Oh, my God. This movie is awesome.
Paul Walker looked perfect, though.
It's really true. He is like a shining Aryan in this movie.
I was looking at him and being like, I get it.
He is Nietzsche's Ubermensch.
I get why they hate us. This is better.
Yeah, he's an attractive guy. There it is. Brian Earle. Oh, my gosh. This movie's awesome. There's no doubt about that. We recommend it. I think I can unanimously speak for everybody and say, yeah, come on. where it goes is so wild. There was a moment where we were going to do a Fast and Furious movie a night here, but I thought it would be too much. Now, after watching this, I don't think it would be.
No.
They're kind of fun. This one's really, really good.
Oh, it's great. And I feel like you get a taste of the future of the franchise at the very end. When Dom flies off in his dad's car, rolls the car numerous times, lands upright, revealed to be not wearing a seatbelt, and is fine. He would have exploded inside of that car.
But even that scene, he was fine, but he did seem kind of in pain, which I was shocked by because I had never seen this character reveal anything as humiliating as being hurt.
In later movies, he's like, I'm Wolverine.
Exactly.
That whole ending, I just loved it. I want to. I know we're wrapping up, and I'm grasping at straws because genuinely, I want to keep talking about the movie. What's funny. I don't have anything else to say.
I did the same, Jason. I was like, I think I want to watch these movies.
Please
obviously,
do.
I have apparently seen a bunch of them, but
I've seen like a bunch. I've listened to you talk about like six of them.
Yeah.
You have a bunch you have not seen.
I haven't seen it. And now I want. Now that I know that this is the
Did you come see
beginning.
It with us when we went to go see it in Rumble Seats? Number 4, we
I don't
found
think
the
I saw
only
it in Rumble
theater
Seats.
In LA at that point that was doing D-Box, it was called. We went to Man's Chinese Theater. We signed the poster of the D-Box movie theater because we were the only 4 people there at midnight to watch Fast and Furious 4, which is
no way
the
I was
boringest
there at midnight.
One. Yeah, you weren't there
I
for that
I wasn't there
one.
At midnight. But now, it just reignited. Well, I guess started because there was never really a passion for this. But I am now very curious and very interested in seeing the rest in order.
Yeah. And I think we're going to do it. I think because I'm on board for doing that in the
Should
lead up
we,
to.
Because, you know, Jason, Paul obviously has unspooled, but maybe you and I break off.
Wow.
What if, hear me out. What if our new podcast, Fun Spooled, launches one quarter mile at a time? What if our podcast is called One Quarter Mile at a Time?
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. All right, well.
I like that they drove everywhere in a V formation. I wrote that. Yeah. And for some reason, my favorite line of the movie is he meets Hector, and Hector goes, hey, they call me Hector, which... That's like your name. It's like, just a name.
Hey, they call me Hector, but my name is Bruce.
My name is Bruce. They're super racist, hence the race wars. They assume my name is Hector. Oh, yeah, it's not.
Wait,
my name's Gary Rabinowitz, but everybody here calls me Hector. I wish they wouldn't.
But wait, doesn't he also say, my name is Hector, and my last name I can't pronounce?
That's what he says. Yeah, he does say that too.
Which
I just imagine being that actor and walking up to the director Rob Cohen and being like, "Hey, I'm not sure how to play this line,
I don't know
as a grown man how to pronounce my last name. What do you think my character means by that?"
By the way, I know that actor. We worked together on a TV
He's
series.
He's an amputee. He showed up on a setup.
I would bet his real name is Hector. And I would bet money that was completely improvised.
Great.
100%.
Holy shit.
Lovely guy. A lovely guy. All right. Well, thank you all for coming out here tonight. What a pleasure. To go back to the beginning of this amazing franchise. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you to Seth, and thank you all for listening. We have a very special shirt. If you're in attendance at that show, you'll know what it means. We had to cut a majority of it out, but you'll get the drift of it. If you go to tpublic.com, you will see a very special Fast and Furious shirt. It's on sale right now, and I think it works even if you don't know what it references. But it is on sale right now. Go to tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. Okay,
So that brings us to the end. Make sure that you call in with anything that we might have missed. It's 619-PAUL-ASK. I'm talking about any corrections, any omissions, or just thoughts about, you know, what Fast and Furious can be. And as always, we want to hear your best tagline for Fast and Furious. So submit that all in Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM. And if you are coming to the May 26th Fast 10 show at Largo, we suggest coming in costume. That's right. Put on a costume. Come see us. We'll be in costume. You should be in costume too. That's May 26th live at Largo. But this show, what you're listening to right here, couldn't be done without a couple of things. First of all, you listening, but more importantly, I'm talking about the amazing producerial work of Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, and our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineer, Alex Gonzalez, and our publisher, July Diaz. People, they make the trains run, and we love them. So we will see you next week for Last Looks. And until then, bye for now.